Please join me in our word, our prayer for understanding of God's word. Holy God, open your word. Give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation that our eyes may be enlightened and we may know the hope to which we have been called. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Our reading of God's word this morning is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, titled The Sheep and the Goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for the one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or a sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. The word of God for the people of God.
I thank our brother in Christ, Howard, for a wonderful job helping us to continue in an attitude of worship. Thank you, my friend. Please join with me in prayer. We thank you, loving God, for how you have spoken once again, and now that we would be completely open to you as you speak to us individually, intimately. Thank you for these words. Challenge us, that help us to be disciples. We pray in the name of our King Jesus. Amen. I'm going to confess something to you right here and right now. Some of you are thinking, oh good, this is going to be juicy. Well, it's not that big of a deal. I want to tell you that right now. But it is involving your pastor not doing something that he should do. So, here it is. I signed up for wellness checks through our insurance. And part of it is receiving phone calls from a health coach. And do you think that I have returned those phone calls to the health coach yet? No! In fact, I now recognize the number so that generally I just push my cell phone further away whenever it's coming in. I admit that. I don't really want to talk about it, especially right after I've had biscuits and gravy and pancakes. It's not a good time. But I will get back to them. I will get back to them. So don't send me emails and saying, Pastor, come on. A wellness check is something that maybe we don't necessarily look forward to for a lot of different reasons. But the scripture passage today is a wellness check for our Christianity. As we read it, we are given a clear blueprint. As we read it, we are convicted in a good way, in a good way. As we read it, we are called to soak it in, to ponder it, but also then to follow. As we read it, we cannot help but consider how we are living our lives following Jesus, our King. It's an interesting Sunday today in the church calendar year. Christ the King Sunday, or the Reign of Christ Sunday. And I think it's an interesting time for it to be placed in the church calendar because there are so many other things that pull our attention away from God right about now. Certainly, there's a lot of good things. Preparing for times with family or other gatherings. Certainly, going out and shopping for our angel tree, even maybe if it's not on Black Friday, another day. All of those things are worthwhile. But whenever there's anything else in our lives that takes precedence over Jesus as our King and our Lord, we start kind of going astray and wandering. And it's not a wandering where we need to have anybody shaking our fingers at us. But it's a wandering that starts leading us into places where we are feeling more and more empty. And God never wants us to feel empty. God wants us to empty ourselves of things that are not healthy. God wants us to hand over things to Him that are not pertinent, that are not the most important things in life, certainly. And God wants to fill us and is already filling us with His grace. But when we have something else that's Lord in our lives other than Jesus, King, certainly we find ourselves seeking and yearning for something more. That image of King is something that we don't necessarily think of an awful lot. Although, now be honest with me. Anybody here just go to Burger King and order one of those crowns? Anybody here necessarily need to wear one of those? You can raise your hand if you need to have a crown when you go to Burger King. That's not the kind of king that I'm talking about. This is a king that gives very clear instructions in this scripture passage. And he's been leading up to this. And specifically in this gospel, he's been leading up, telling people, first of all, be prepared for when I come again. Continue to serve. Don't just sit and wait, but rather step forward and serve in my name. Don't do it out of fear either, but do it faithfully, okay? Trusting, knowing that my Father is going to provide for you. And now we come to this particular passage, which is something that you'll see in Christian bookstores. You'll see bits and pieces of this particular passage on plaques and on posters and on signs. But taken as a whole, taken in entirety, and especially in context with what Jesus has already said and where He's heading, which is to the cross, it's even more powerful. Think about that, first of all. Jesus is not some king that's simply saying, you need to do this. These are the rules for you, but I have a different set for me. What's about to happen to Jesus? Where is He heading? And it's not going to be pretty. So He doesn't expect anything of us that He hasn't already done, is not willing to do. This is a call for us to truly follow the one who is going to do the heavy work, the heavy lifting of salvation, so that then we can be his disciples today and each and every day. This passage comes to mind, and it's something that I know is discussed often whenever people ask me, well, you know, Pastor, I drive by this person at such and such corner, okay, and they're holding a sign, and they're asking for something. And here in this community, we see a lot of that, don't we? People coming through, passing through, and holding up a sign asking for all sorts of things. And one sign was particularly poignant because it was actually humiliating for that person. On the sign, it had three words: hungry, lonely, ugly. And that sign was seared into my memory because I thought to myself, none of God's children should ever have to humiliate themselves. It's not about us even deeming who's worthy and who isn't worthy. This is not a sermon about me telling you, well, go out right now and the first person that you see holding a sign, give them something. This is not a sermon about that. But it is a sermon about following how God is leading you. Because there are the folks that say to me, well, I know they're all just making money off of that. And I know they're wealthy. And they're making a good living out there holding that sign. And then there are the folks also that say to me, you know what, I go ahead and give to each and every one I see because that's what God guides me to do. So it is whatever God guides you to do. But is the scripture pretty clear? The final judgment, what Jesus is saying? There are the goats, there are the sheep, there are those who did follow and reach out and were willing to extend themselves, maybe even coming out of their comfort zone, to help others. And there were those that didn't. And you know, at that judgment, what's interesting is that those that didn't clothe and feed and nurture and help seem kind of surprised, don't they? You read that in the scripture? Did you hear that? They're like, at that point, well, Lord, when was it? You know, I mean, we didn't notice these people. We didn't notice this. We're sorry. Well, the call is not to live by fear, by what somebody's going to do with what you give them. The call is to live following God, trusting God. And who is our King? Jesus. Who is our Lord? Jesus. Who is our Savior? Jesus. That's the one who we keep front and center, focused on. What did he do? You know, there was that bracelet a few years ago, came out, What Would Jesus Do? And it started out very simply. There was a particular church, and I think it was even a particular Sunday school within that church, that simply wanted to raise money for missions. And they came up with that simple idea, What Would Jesus Do? WWJD. Well, what happened? It became a marketing gargantuan. And you could see it everywhere. And then what happened after that, it kind of lost its meaning. Then other bracelets started coming up. But it's still a good question. What would Jesus do? What would he do in these situations? And boy, I tell you what, sometimes it confronts us doing the right thing, doesn't it? Let's be really honest with one another right now. Sometimes we want to say, Jesus, I don't want to do that. Have you ever dealt with somebody that stomped their feet like that and said, I don't want to? I don't want to. Maybe on one, we would have WWJD on the other bracelet. I don't want to. We just kind of look at both of those during the day and see which one's going to win out. But here it's pretty clear. The ones who are faithful are the ones that are willing to be stretched. The ones that are faithful are the ones that are willing to see Jesus. Okay? Not just trying to ease their conscience by giving something, but literally see Jesus in the face and eyes of another. One of the things that we do in our preschool here is we look around in the eyes of the kids, and I just kind of stare like this, like I'm staring in your eyes right now. And some of you have these countenances on your face where you're not smiling or anything, but I want to make sure that you try to do that, because it's okay. You can smile in church. And I'm looking in their eyes and looking around in their eyes, and I say, you know who I see when I look in your eyes? And they scream out, God! And now, does that change the world? Did I come up with that idea? No, it's been done before, and it'll be done again by other people. But when we look in the eyes of another person, and especially somebody in need, and especially somebody that confronts us, in our comfort zone, can we see Jesus? That's simply the question. Can we see Jesus? Preaching in front of the Ebenezer Baptist congregation, he loved just a couple of miles away from where he would eventually be shot. Actually, that's not correct. But preaching in the Ebenezer Baptist congregation, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. zeroed in on the ultimate question. He was preaching, and this is the question. If Christ is king, what does that mean? If Christ is ruler over our lives, Dr. King preached, then my Nobel Peace Prize is less important than my trying to feed the hungry. If Christ is king, then my invitations to the White House are less important than that I visited those in prison. If Christ is Lord, then my being Time Magazine's Man of the Year is less important than that I tried to love extravagantly, dangerously, and with all my being. It's not about us. It's not about our self-preservation, our discipleship, our Christianity. It's not about us simply feeling good. And it's not about us getting front row seats in heaven. It's about being willing, being stretched, being open to be challenged by God to see Christ in the face of our brother and sister in Christ. Not ours to make a judgment call, but rather ours to live knowing that Jesus is Lord. A hungry man was walking down the street in a village of medieval Turkey. He had only a piece of bread in his hand. He came to a restaurant where some meatballs were being grilled. The cooking meat was so near and the smell so delicious, the man held his piece of bread over the meat to capture some of the smell. As he started to eat the bread, the angry restaurant owner seized him and took him away to see a judge. The owner protested, "This man was stealing the smell of my meat without asking permission. I want you to make him pay me for it." The judge thought for a moment, then held up his purse in front of the owner and shook it. You could hear the change. "What are you doing that for?" asked the restaurant owner. The judge replied, "I am paying you. The sound of money is fair payment for the smell of food." The challenge when we are dealing with the least and the last is to make sure that what we are sharing with them is real and tangible. And oftentimes, it requires an actual sacrifice on our part. We must make sure that our care is expressed in ways that are tangible and begin to change lives. How is Jesus Lord in your life? We can't make Jesus anything that we want that simply meets what we have in mind. Jesus is Lord. And if Jesus is Lord, that means we follow Him, not Him following us. If Jesus is Lord, that means we listen to His words, not continuing to talk so that we cannot hear. If Jesus is Lord, that means we humble ourselves before Him, following the example of Him humbling Himself in His life and on the cross. If Jesus is Lord and King, what does that mean for our lives? What a wonderful time it is to be alive. What a wonderful time it is to be the church. What a wonderful blessing it is to have that name of Christ. But as we continue on this journey of faith, may we be open to truly taking on that name in a more fuller way, in a more complete way, in a more intimate way, and also be willing to follow Jesus. That question, what is it to have Jesus as Lord? How does that make a change in my life? What difference does that make? Jesus is our Lord, our Savior, our King, the one who we follow. And it's all because of God's grace and love pouring into our lives. Join with me in prayer. We thank You, Lord, and we're grateful. We're grateful for these challenges that we have. We must love even our enemies. We must reach out in compassion, not pity. We must seek to do these things in integrity and in humility. While sometimes those things take us out of our comfort zone, it's exactly what Jesus calls us to do. And in these passages that we've just heard and that we'll ponder and read again later today, we're reminded of our call. We don't have to meet every need. We don't have to fix everything. What You've done on the cross for us through Jesus offers us salvation, offers us healing, is a salve for the brokenness of our hearts and in all of creation. But while we don't need to fix each and every life that is put in front of us, we need to follow the conviction that You place in our hearts to reach out to those who we see Jesus in. Thank You for the incredible love and strength that You give us to do just that. And we pray now with great authority in the name of Christ, our risen Savior, and our Lord, and our King. Amen.